club of mine. No, that club of mine, but only in my soul belongs. I have a Bible in my home. I have a Bible in my home, but only in my soul belongs. Father, he taught me how to read. Father, he taught me how to read. I don't need my soul belongs. Nobody's fault but mine. Oh, Lord. Nobody's fault but mine. I don't need my soul belongs. I have a Bible of my own, but I don't need my soul belongs. Oh, Mother, she taught me how to read. Father, she taught me how to read. But I don't need my soul belongs. Nobody's fault but mine. No, nobody's fault but mine, but I don't need my soul belongs. And sister, she taught me how to read. Sister, she taught me how to read. But I don't need my soul belongs. Nobody's fault but mine.
And with that, we say welcome to you for 2013, or do you say 2013, here on Critical Thinking on 98.7 WFMT. I'm Andrew Patner, your host and producer for this series. We're going back 75 years to mark this turn of the calendar year, from 2012 to 2013. And we're doing so, those of you who are longtime or regular listeners to this program know that we are big fans of the French record collectors André Francis and Jean Schwartz, spelled André Francis and Jean, J-E-A-N, Schwartz with just S-C-H-W-A-R. Z, no T. And from the set drawn from their collections, plural, where they go in pure chronological order through some of their favorites from 1911 through 1940, L'Histoire du Jazz Vocal, the story of vocal jazz, jazz being very broadly defined. This is for Le Chant du Monde, Harmonia Mundi. And this 10-CD set was put out in 2004. Don't know if it's still available. We're going to be listening to recordings directly from the discs here and from 1927 and 1928. That was Blind Willie Johnson, a Texas guitar picker and blues and gospel singer, and you certainly see in It's Nobody's Fault But Mine, a traditional song that falls very much either between or in both blues and gospel categories. You definitely get that feeling from Blind Willie Johnson there. He was born in 1897 and died in 1945, so he's just about 30 when he gives that old man sound there. This was from a period where he did, for about 3 years, do commercial recordings for the Columbia Record Company. Thought this would just be a great way to welcome the new year, listen to some very classic but very rare, classic in sound, rare in availability and general knowledge, recordings from the great black heritage of this country. So who better than to take us next from February 17th, 1927, but the Empress of the Blues, Bessie Smith.
When it rains 5 days and the skies turn dark at night, when it rains 5 days and the skies turn dark at night, then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my door. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my door. There's enough trouble to make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, sewed them in, and they rolled me along. When it thunders and lightning and the wind begins to blow, there's thousands of people ain't got no place to go. Then I went and stood up on some high old lonesome hill. Then I went and stood up on some high old lonesome hill. Then looked down on the house where I used to live. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things and go. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things and go.
Bessie Smith with her own Backwater Blues, February 17, 1927. She'd started recording with Columbia in 1920 before there even were, well, it was back in the recording horn days as acoustic recording, as those of you who follow our opera recording programs, Andy Karzis from the recording horn. Electric recording, of course, had started at this point, and you really got to hear Bessie Smith, 1894 to 1937, out loud with her own Backwater Blues. James P. Johnson, the great stride pianist, accompanying her there. Let's hear Bessie Smith now working with an already longtime popular song. In fact, this song had reached the top 20 or maybe the top 10, well, at least the top 15, four times when it came out in 1911. And remember, songs didn't come out with a recording back then. They came out on sheet music. And then different artists recorded the song, and one or more of those, usually many more, became the hits or didn't become the hits. In this case, of course, this was a man who had decades and decades of hit-making, Irving Berlin. And it's also an opportunity for us to hear the first example today of where the Jewish composition activity and performance tradition intersects so strongly with the Black performance and composition and music history tradition. Here's Bessie Smith from March 2nd, 1927, with a song that she put back on the charts for the 1920s. As we say, that's a song that charted from 1911 when it first came out at least four times through just about every decade into the 1950s. And there in 1927, Bessie Smith, Alexander's Ragtime Band, Oh Honey Lamb. And what a group she had with her. Joe Smith on cornet, Jimmy Harrison on trombone, the great Coleman Hawkins on clarinet, Fletcher Henderson on piano, and Charlie Dixon on banjo. So you had some great artists to come on different instruments, playing the instruments that needed to be played for Columbia and Bessie Smith, and I'm sure they viewed it as a great honor and a great boost to their careers. Well, let's go to another Texas blues man, another blind Texas blues man, and really the first to make it as a male Black vocalist in this period for Paramount Records, which specialized in the blues. You'll notice that all of these are roughly 3-minute cuts because these are all commercial or quasi-commercial recordings made on 78, what today or today, who knows what anything's called, but what later became known as singles and then were just called records. Here's Blind Lemon Jefferson with his own Matchbox Blues.
I'm going to the river, I'm going to walk down by the sea. I'm going to the river, walk down by the sea. I caught those tadpoles and minnows arguing over me. Then yeah, one man with a matchbox hold my soul. As then yeah, one day when a matchbox hold my soul. I ain't got so many matches, but I got so far to go. Lord, mama, who may your manager be? Hey, hey, mama, who may your manager be? So many questions, can't you make arrangements for me? I got a girl across town, she crochet all the time. I got a girl across town, crochet all the time. If you don't quit crocheting, you're gonna lose your mind. I wouldn't mind marrying, but I can't stand settling down. I don't mind marrying, but Lord, settling down. I'm gonna act like a preacher so I can ride from town to town. But I'm leaving town. Pride won't make me stay. I'm leaving town. Father, you drive me away.
The great Blind Lemon Jefferson from Texas in the Southwest, of course, but actually not recorded down there initially, and for most of his recording career was up here in Chicago. The record label brought him up here, Paramount, and brought him up to Chicago, and sadly he died in Chicago at the age of 36. His death is still something of a mystery. He could have been murdered. He could have been robbed. He could have been drunk and disoriented. He froze to death. He could have had his coffee poisoned. There are all kinds of questions about him. And then he was brought back to Texas, his body was, and the grave was neglected for a long time. But I believe that now the cemetery in Wortham, Texas, is the Blind Lemon Memorial Cemetery. Certainly extremely influential and often parodied, both by accident in Downbeat magazine. Gene Leese, author of Cats of Any Color, liked to play around with a character named Blind Orange Adams. And then there were some other parodies we just can't repeat here. So let us go over to another connection between blues and gospel. This was Ms. Sippy Wallace, who wanted to preach, but other people wanted her to sing on record. And here is her own Dead Drunk Blues. Listen for the cornet player.
Thank you.
Papa, just one more time. There have been songs to the grape and to liquor from the time of the ancient Greeks and before, all the way to the present day. That one is Dead Drunk Blues by Sippy Wallace. She's the first of our very long-lived performers. She's also a Texan, Texas Nightingale, born in Houston in 1898. You may say, but gosh, I saw Sippy Wallace because, yes, she hit the circuit, colleges and then European festivals and then Chicago festivals when she came out of retirement in 1966. She had left the field in the 30s because she was going to follow the Bible and she was going to preach and so on. But I guess in 1966, when she was 67 years old, she decided she'd get back on the blues game, and she did for 20 years, literally until the day she died, her 88th birthday. She died in Detroit after having a stroke while on tour in Europe. And you heard Louis Armstrong playing cornet and Artie Starks playing clarinet there, May 6, 1927. Here's our first chance to hear the Duke Ellington Orchestra, here with vocalist Adelaide Hall, who also lived to a great age and died only recently. The Blues I Love to Sing, an Ellington original. Adelaide Hall, who lived into her 90s, she left the U.S. in 1938 for London, originally just to try her hand, and she remained there for 55 years. She had recorded hits over an 8-decade period, And there we heard her back in her youth, October 26, 1927, a song that Duke Ellington wrote with Bubber Miley. You heard Bubber Miley on trumpet there. He inspired many of Ellington's early big hits in the 20s. He had a problem with the bottle, had to leave the band in 1929 or so, and then died, drank himself to death 3 years later in 1932, only at the age of 29. So we heard there the Duke Ellington Orchestra with Adelaide Hall, Bubber Miley, Louis Metcalf trumpets, Joe Nanton trombone, Rudy Jackson clarinet and tenor sax, Otto Hardwick clarinet, alto and baritone sax, ditto Harry Carney, Fred Guy on guitar, Wellman Broad on bass, and another man who made it through many decades, Sonny Greer on drums. Let's go back to Bessie Smith, and we'll hear two in a row, back to back, Dying by the Hour and Foolish Man Blues.
It's an old story. Every time it's a doggone man. It's an old story. Every time it's a doggone man. But when that thing is on you, you just drift from hand to hand. Drink a bottled acid if it wouldn't burn me so. I'd drink a bottled acid if it wouldn't burn me so. Then tell upon the devil that's the only place I'd go. Once I weigh 200, I'm nothing but skin and bone. Once I weigh 200, I'm nothing but skin and bone. But it's nothing but a moan and a groan. Lord, I'm dying by the hour about that doggone man of mine. I'm dying by the hour about that doggone man of mine.
Puzzle. There's two things I can't understand.
Bessie Smith, who had a way with a lyric in addition, of course, to her amazing musical and vocal gifts. We first heard Dying by the Hour, written by George Brooks. It's an old story. It's a doggone man. And then Foolish Man Blues, just being silly about a lot of different things. Men sure deceitful, and they getting worse every day. October 27, 1927 session, Bessie Smith on both, of course, Tommy Ladner cornet, Fletcher Henderson piano, and June Cole, you could hear it, on tuba. The program is Critical Thinking. We're welcoming in the new year, new calendar year 2013, with music from 75 years ago, drawn from the collections of André Francis and Jean Schwartz. Their L'Histoire du Jazz Vocal, The Story of Vocal Jazz, 1911 to 1940. We're just looking at 1927 and 1928. I'm Andrew Patner. You're listening to 98.7 WFMT and to WFMT.com. Well, speaking of lyrics and speaking of difficulties, let's go to Victoria Spivey's infamous Dope Head Blues.
Just give me one more sniffle, another sniffle of that dope. Better than I ever felt. get my airplane and drive it to my door. I think I'll fly to London. These monkey men make mama so. The Prince of Wales is on my trail. The President sent for me. The Prince of Wales is on my trail. They worry me so much. I'll take another sniff and put them both in jail.
So many of these artists who were fortunate to have longer lives than the ones who didn't, even if she sang about dope, Ms. Spivey had a long career. She actually brought Bob Dylan into her band in the early 1960s when she made a comeback after singing gospel, or not so much singing, but playing gospel music. For a period, Dylan sings and plays harmonica on some of her recordings from the early 60s, and she lived well into the 1970s and continued performing and even had her own record label. Did we mention OK Records, O-K-E-H, earlier? This was another great label for black artists starting in the 1920s and then went on to other things. But Victoria Spivey actually started in the 60s, Spivey Records. So she was an entrepreneur and a historian and a promoter, among other things. Let's now go to a very different artist. She came from a middle-class family in Louisville, Kentucky, but she started off singing very racy material even when she was just not even a teen, well, 14, I guess, technically, makes you a teenager. But she was put in front of the microphone and given wild lyrics to sing, and she did very well with them. But she also then went on to sing with Count Basie and other more mainstream, shall we say, performers. I was fortunate enough to hear her, Helen Humes, at Rick's Cafe American. Do you remember that? It was in the 70s and early 80s, featured a lot of older musicians either making comebacks or being brought in out of retirement. It was at the ground floor of the old Holiday Inn on Lakeshore Drive, the one that had the revolving, then revolving Pinnacle restaurant on the top. I think it's called a W Hotel now. Let's hear a 14-year-old Helen Humes, November 26, 1927, just coming from the Thanksgiving table, I guess, with Cross-Eyed Blues.
The one I really pride.
Helen Hume's Cross-Eyed Blues. Oh, I'll have to double-check on who wrote that. I'll get back to you in a moment. Well, here we've got something interesting. Marion Harris. She spelled it M-A-R-I-O-N, though her name was Mary Ellen Harrison. The first white singer to specialize, really, and to have hits with blues and jazz. And we're going to hear her in a first two, in that this recording from the end of December of 1927 of Gershwin and Gershwin's The Man I Love was one of the first to go around the world as a hit. It's interesting to me, too, because I was just in New York over the turn of the year, and I was staying in an apartment at 101st and Riverside Drive, and we learned that at 103rd and Riverside Drive, in a reasonably sized individual apartment building, is where the Gershwins had lived from 1925 to 1929, 1930 or so. And just down the street, Humphrey Bogart had lived from his babyhood through the beginning of his movie career. So that was a little interesting Upper West Side experience to have. And of course, this song was from that period. So here, Marion Harris, The Man I Love. Interesting, isn't it, to hear how a song such as that was put over in its own time with that all combination of syrupy and reflective, I guess you could say. There were auditors of that song who did not know if Miss Harris was white or black. She was white. She was from probably Indiana, very Midwestern gal, born in 1896, died under tragic circumstances about, 48 years after that. The Gershwins, The Man I Love. Well, here he comes, Louis Armstrong, December 13, 1927. Not to love there. Hotter Than That, Louis Armstrong, a song written by his wife from the 1920s, his wife of the 1920s, Chicagoan Lil Hardin Armstrong, who was also the pianist in that band. Many of you may recall her. She lived on the South Side on 41st Street, on East 41st Street, and was very much on the scene in Chicago through the early 70s. She died not too long after Armstrong did. Louis Armstrong, clarinet and vocals. Kid Ory on trombone. Johnny Dodds, clarinet. Lil Armstrong, Hardin, on piano. Johnny Sansir on banjo. And that great duet there, Lonnie Johnson on guitar. We should say that in the still mysterious C. Williams written Cross-Eyed Blues, we heard Walter Beasley on guitar with Helen Humes, and you get to hear what scat was going to become, already appearing out of Armstrong in 1927. We're going to have to wrap up with just one more. I was going to jump out of order, but I can't with this series. I love what Francis and Schwartz have done by sticking to absolute chronology. So we're not making it to 28. We're getting to December 14, 1927. Well, we'll listen, and then I'll tell you about it. Thought I'd Do It.
Your mama's gonna give you the gate. You told me your love was strong, the Samson of old. Just stand still, brother, till I get you told. You never miss your sweet cake till your sugar's all gone. You never miss your mama till she says so long. You never miss the music till you're ready to sing. You're thinking now of wedding bells, but they will never ring. I thought I'd take you back some time ago. Thought I'd let you love me just once more. Several times I thought I'd do it, but I knew someday I'd rue it. So now I've changed my mind this evening, but now I've changed my mind. Son, it's too late now. Pick it, son, while I get him told.
Well, you know that singer as an actress, Hattie McDaniel. Some years later, she was the first black performer to be nominated for and to win an Academy Award as Mammy in Gone with the Wind. But in the 1920s, she was a red-hot mama and a red-hot jazz singer and writer of jazz songs. That's okay again. Here in Chicago, December 14, 1927, her own song, I Thought I'd Do It. You never miss your sweet cake till your sugar is gone. Hattie McDaniel vocals, Tiny Parnham on piano. Well, what did you think? We gave you a bit of the end of 1927, 75 years ago, to welcome in 2013. Drop us a line. Rentap, that's Patner spelled backwards, R-E-N-T-A-P at AOL.com, or visit the Chime In feature at WFMT.com. WFMT.com/critical thinking is where you can hear this or any of our programs anytime on your very own computerized device. We'd like to thank Matt DeStefano for spinning the discs with us today. We'd like to thank our funders, Alpha Wood Foundation, Dick and Susie Kiphart, and other friends of this program. I'm Andrew Patner. We'll see you next week.